begin this morning, just want to reference an event we had last night. We had our couples date night last night. We had almost 30 couples show up, and we had just a great time. So if you're a married couple and you weren't able to attend last night, we'll do something like that again in the future. And as I shared in the first service, I learned things about people in our church that I will remember and some things that I want to forget. There was some really good material last night that we were able to share with. And so thank you for being a part of that. I had a great team that helped me to plan that and be a part of that process. So thank you for doing that. And this morning, we're going to be doing something a little bit different, kind of a little bit different from what we normally do on a Sunday morning, where we're going to have a missions report. And I'm going to be kind of the missionary reporting to you this morning, because that's something that we think is appropriate to do. And before I get into the report, I just was thinking as we were singing Blessed Assurance that not everybody knows about that blessed assurance. There's a lot of people that haven't heard the message of Jesus Christ, and both here and around the world. So having the opportunity to share about missions and challenge you and I about this is an important thing, because there's still more people that God wants to reach with the blessed assurance. And so we want to spend some time talking about that. And I'm going to help my slide guy today by just helping him with some prompts, because we spent hours practicing this, right, Dave? Okay, yeah. So you can go to the next slide, Dave, please. And you can. All right. So in the middle there, you see Paul Scott. He is a missionary that is U.S.-based that travels back and forth to Vietnam. And so I was able to go to Vietnam this past December. You supported me on that trip, and you sent me with Paul and two other people. So this morning, I want to share a little bit about that. And before I get into the details of the trip, I want to just give you some rationale as to why I would do this or why we have teams do this. I think it's good to remind you of that. We think there are some important reasons why we would have either individuals or teams that you have sent out come back and talk to you about it. First of all, it's a stewardship issue. It's a good stewardship issue because you as a church have invested a lot of money in trips and individuals to go to these places. And we're talking about thousands of dollars. And since you have invested in that, it's good stewardship for you to hear about those trips from individuals or from teams, to what happened on those trips that you funded. Secondly, I think as you hear about these trips, I'm hoping that God begins to prompt in your mind and in your heart maybe the possibility of you thinking about a trip in the future. And we'll get to more to the high-pressure tactics in a few moments. All right, we'll get to those. And then thirdly, the idea of, it's not just the idea of good stewardship, but also it's a biblical pattern that we like to follow, that in the early church, they would send out people to go to different places to share the gospel. They would plant churches. They would reach people with the gospel, and then they would come back and report. I want to show you this. If you take your Bibles with me and turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. This will be the only verse I'm going to have you turn to today. Hopefully that you're okay with that for right now, and we'll be referencing some biblical themes. But Acts chapter 15, and as you're turning there, the backdrop is this. It's Paul and Barnabas are the mission or church planting team that's together, and they've been traveling. They've been sent out by churches in Jerusalem. They've been sent out to different places. They've gone into different areas. They've shared the gospel, planted churches. People have been saved. Churches have been started. And so now they're returning back. And in verse 4 of chapter 15, it says this: when they, Paul and Barnabas, came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. So that's my purpose this morning. You sent me thousands of miles to Vietnam in December. And thankfully, you purchased a round-trip ticket, so I'm back. So you sent me, and I think it's very appropriate to come back to the people of Bible Baptist Church and report to you what God did on that trip and how he was able to use me and different things that you accomplished. And when I say things that I was able to be a part of, I want you to know very much so you were a part of that. Because you sent me, you supported me, just like you support teams. So when you hear about these things, you should, in a very appropriate way, be proud of the fact that you supported the gospel in Vietnam. You supported discipleship in Vietnam. You were a part of that, even though you did not get on the plane for 18 hours and have some of the food and all that kind of stuff. But you're a part of that. So thank you for doing that. I want to go ahead and go to the next slide. This is just a reminder for some of you about what you would encounter if you flew into Saigon, Vietnam, which is their biggest city. And this is Bui Vien Street, which is a a street that's very popular. I've been up and down the street many times. And this is kind of what you experience when you first get there. It's pretty intense. And I just want to remind you that one of the things that we have as a goal for our missions program is to be able to partner with missionaries and ministries that we have. We want to have a partnership. And with Vietnam, we started supporting Paul many, many years ago, but in 2015, we started a partnership. So let me just quickly review that for you, because I've actually been to Vietnam 3 times, and that's amazing to me, because when I came back after the first time, I think I said to Pam shortly after getting off the plane, I'm never going back. And I said, you'll never want to go there. So I've eaten my words, and I'm still working on Pam. We're working on it. So, but I remember, so in 2015 was my first trip to Vietnam. And I want you to know, culture shock, big time. I've been to different places, huge culture shock. Saigon, 8 million people, just a few more than SOTUS. 8 million people, 8 million motorbikes. So the noise and honking and the, because it's only about 110 cc's, was constant. It was rough. It was culture shock. Food, the language, it was quite overwhelming. But I was glad after that first trip, I was able to accomplish a few goals that I have. One was just to connect on a basic level with the ministries that we supported through Paul Scott. So I was able to visit some of those ministries. That was one thing. The other thing that was really a huge challenge and blessing to me on my first trip was interacting with Christians in a communist country. I'd never had that experience ever. So to meet these Christians, because Vietnam is still in the top 20 of most persecuted countries in the world. And it happens more out in the countryside than in the city, but they still have persecution. It's still a communist country. So interacting with these Christians and asking them about what it was like was incredible. And the first year I was there was also their the Vietnamese celebration of their removal of the Americans from Vietnam. So there were flat communist flags everywhere. It was a little overwhelming. But that was kind of my first experience. And then my first experience, I was able to preach at a church, Pastor Fuchs' church. And I got a little bit of touch of the communism part of that, because after we were done with the preaching and the seminar, we were told to wait until a certain time to go down by the street and go one at a time instead of a big group, because the police were watching the building. So I just followed directions, And I remember that first time visiting, it was great because I was able to teach a seminar on first impressions, the idea of having your church be set up in such a way that it's presentable to people when you come. They had never heard about that. But after I left, they started to do some of those things, and they saw a positive response to that, where they had chairs where they were supposed to be and clean the bathrooms every once in a while. So I thought, okay, great, this is good. So that was 2015. The partnership continued. 2016, Pastor Fuch and Pastor Mon came here and visited us, and we had Vietnam Day, where we had a meal in the fellowship hall. We brought in Vietnamese food, and we had a great time. Some of you remember that. That was great. Then 2018, we continued our partnership. Pastor Mon and Trang, his wife Trang, visited our church and talked about their ministry. That was great. 2018, you sent me again on a second trip. The culture was not as much of a shock the second time. I was able to encourage different believers. The second time was much more about deeper relationships with people that we have partnership with, whether it's individuals. Got to know more of the people that were involved with the cards that some of you buy, and the English Club, and the New Life Center. So that was really kind of neat. Was able to preach there. I taught a pastor seminar out in the country with country pastors, and that was really neat. These guys, just they come from remote areas and they get harassed, and just to be able to encourage them and spend time with them was a blessing to me, but also a challenge to me. So that happened in 2018. Last year, we voted to take Pastor Mon and Trang on for support as one of our missionary family, which is great, because I'm just telling you, you get more done when you support missionaries that are from that country. They know the language, and they know the ministry opportunities, so it was really exciting to be able to do that. And then in 2019, for some reason, I said yes again, third time in December. And in thinking back, I'm a slow learner, because I didn't want to go back necessarily, but I should have known. After the first time that Paul asked me to go to Vietnam, and I said yes, he had a funny look on his face. Almost like no one ever says yes. Why are you saying yes? And so I didn't realize I should have learned. But then I was like, okay, well, I said yes, so I'll go. So 2019 was my third trip in December. It was the longest trip for me, 16 days. And that was a long time. It was a hard trip as well because I didn't plan it well. I'm just admitting this right out to you. I did not plan it well because it was right before a family life event of my daughter getting married, and I'm trying to encourage and help Pam out through Skype. That's just not really that helpful, or just FaceTime and those kind of things. So, but God bless that. I will tell you this. On that trip, the culture, the sound, I didn't hear the sounds anymore. I didn't. I didn't understand the language still, but I did. The sounds were just not there. And so let me just give you a report that's bringing you up to, you know, this last trip. Let me give you a report here because this is part of what you supported me to do. One of the things I was able to do in December was to teach a leadership training seminar to two groups. And I talked about four leadership topics, leadership in relationships, leadership and time management, balance in leadership, that means balancing your life as far as, you know, different responsibilities, and then I taught about leadership styles. The first group, go ahead and go to the next slide that I taught. I didn't prompt you. Keep going, Dave, my bad. Keep going, there we go. All right, that was the cover. That's the first group, the New Life Center students. There was about 30 of them that I taught, a couple different of the seminars there. Now, you're probably wondering, what are they doing? Are you wondering what they're doing? Well, we talked about having balance in ministry, balancing your life. And so I thought, hey, let's see if they can balance themselves. So they were supposed to be doing the crane position, but it turned into the crane position, the water fountain position, the I need bread position. I don't know. It was all these kind of stuff. So, but it was just kind of, they were fun to work with. So we're just kind of going through that process. And these are Christian college students in Vietnam that are on fire for God. So being able to teach them leadership stuff, that was that. So we did a little balance stuff with that. A second group that I taught the training to were some pastors. You can go ahead and go to the next one. Just so you know that I was really suffering for Jesus, we traveled 6 hours to teach the pastors, and we ended up in Da Lat. And Da Lat is this really horrible place in Vietnam. This is, and we were there in December, 90 degrees. It's horrible. Doesn't it look horrible? It's just horrible. It was beautiful. It's a huge resort town. And to be able, listen, folks, to be able to bring those pastors in from these remote places just to give them refreshment and encouragement. You supported that. They were so blessed for that. So go ahead, next slide. This is just some of the men and wives and ladies that we taught. And you notice, anybody notice the color? What color shirt did they wear? Anybody notice? Red, okay. So red is a prominent color in Vietnam. But I want you can go to the next slide. I want you to see a little close-up here. That was the emblem on the shirt. Because Paul Scott had a bunch of these shirts made up that we gave to the New Life students and to these pastors. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And so I just wanted you to see that's a little better color of that. And you can go to one more slide for me, Dave. The reason why I say this, I want you to know that these pastors, I'm telling you, they first of all, they came to the seminar on motorbikes. No cars. And some of them traveled 2 and 3 hours with their wives in the back of their motorbike to come to the seminar. I'm not exaggerating here. So they're going back into these remote parts of Vietnam. And in these remote parts of Vietnam where you and I will never get to, that a lot of people, there's going to be these bright red shirts, Bible Baptist Church. I'm sure some of these guys are getting up and preaching to their 10 people in the middle of the woods, and they got Bible Baptist Church of Sodas written on there. And it's like, that is so awesome. And I'm sure they're probably getting the question, where is Bible Baptist Church of Sodas? I have no idea. I have no idea. I just got this free shirt because I went to a seminar. Now, we laugh about that, but then if we were to ask, you know, hey, where is that village? They'd be like, I have no idea where that village is. But that is so cool. And you probably can't tell here, but they're all very serious-faced in this picture. That was set up by me because we were talking about balance and leadership. And I said, one of the things you need to be a balanced leader and in church and ministry is to have a sense of humor. So I said, let's just send them a picture of you being really serious. So it was really hard for them. There's one guy in the back on the far right you can't see. He cannot stop smiling. Stop! Yeah, but we're just saying, listen, you have to have a sense of humor and balance there. So that was so much fun being a part of that. I also have some video clips. I thought, you know, missionaries bring slides and video clips and those kind of things. So this is a short video clip of me doing a little balance exercise with them to see if they could balance. It's only about 5 seconds. I'm going to be the guy, because we're still working on our projector image, I'm the guy that looks like I have white hair. It's not really, it's me, but it's not white hair. Go ahead. Hold it.
Yo.
Keep holding it. Good. Very good. Very good. You can sit down. All right, so I won't make you do that. Now, I realized this morning as I was reviewing that again, that was not a challenge for them at all, that whole balance thing. They could do it for hours and hours. The reason why I thought of that is because when I was in Saigon, saw it every single time, on the side of the road, like on the curbside, where people would be eating, you know, Vietnamese people eating, young and old, they would squat like this far off the ground, not in a chair, just their knees, and they would sit in that position for hours. Hours. I couldn't do it for 4 seconds. It was painful just looking at it. So I thought, I forgot, this is nothing. And they could do like, hey, what are you doing, buddy? There's no... So I made them hop and do some other things, but we won't have a video of that. So that's one of the things. Thank you for supporting and sending me to do that. It was my privilege to train them and some leadership things, and I think it was a benefit to them. Another thing that I did when I was there was I was able to go to what's called the Alpha class. The young lady fourth from the left here in the scarf and white sweater is Linda. Linda is somebody that you have met before in different ways on slides and video. And she's kind of our contact for New Life Center. She's a college-age young person who's on fire for God and leads up their outreach. And she was the one who headed up the English class that we talked about in the past, where they would bring people in and non-Christian and Christian would get together and they'd share the gospel. Well, they disbanded the English class and started something called the Alpha class, which again is what they do is it's a, I think, a 9 or 10 week course where they talk about Jesus, they talk about the Bible, and they do it in English with some videos, and they invite people in, and so they get a mixture of Christian and non-Christian college students that come in, and they talk about Jesus, they talk about God, and a lot of these young people come from Buddhist background and other situations where they're not Christians, and so it was just kind of neat, and so I was able to attend one of the Alpha classes and be a part of the training that she was doing. And so I'm just setting this up. So that was just a neat ministry thing that they did. One of the things they did at the Alpha class, because they were college students, is they played a game, like college students like to play games, and two teams, and the losing team had a punishment. So I was on one of the teams, and we lost. That bummed me out because I don't like to lose. And so I found out that the punishment for the losing team is the whole team had to go up front and do a dance-off. A dance-off, okay? That's not happening, okay? So, but I'm going to be a good sport, and I figured I'm going to be carried by all the Vietnamese on my team. They've done this before, so we go up and we're going to have this dance-off, and I apologize for the images you're about to see. It's just wrong on so many levels. But you know what? Paul said something about doing whatever's necessary for the gospel. So I don't know if that fits in the context of that passage, but so that was the Alpha class. So thank you, I think, for supporting me for that. Another thing that you supported on my trip was the opportunity to meet one of the card distributors. Right there is we call her the card lady, but distributors of the cards are made, and that's kind of the backdrop. Wanted to just see quickly a video, because I know a lot of you buy these cards to support the New Life Center, and I want you to see they really do hand make these cards. This woman that's making this card, I want you to notice how intricate it is, and it takes about an hour to make one card. So here's just a short video of her doing that. Okay, so that was just short of that, but and that's kind of the inventory, and interesting, that whole process, so that was one of the things we got to do. Another thing you supported me for me to do was to go to a woman named Vin's church and preach on a Sunday morning. You can go to that next slide. And that was great. I loved the opportunity to preach in different parts of the world. Some of you, probably just a few, will remember that Vin and her sister came to our church about 10 years ago. We had a lunch outside with a tent, and they came with Paul Scott. And Vin was not married at the time, but she since has gotten married and now has a child. And so that's her church, and was able to go there. Again, just neat how the partnership worked there. So that was that. One final thing before we turn the page a little bit. One final thing that you supported was the opportunity, go ahead and next slide, for me to visit the location of New Life Center 2. This is the corner lot that they've purchased to put up New Life Center 2, which is another outreach ministry for college students. And it was just really exciting because I knew about this, but I wasn't able to actually visit it until that third trip. And we're standing just on a corner lot. And if you were standing there, it's just literally just a small lot. And you're thinking, wow, is this really going to make a difference? How's this going to work? Go ahead and go to the next slide. This is how it's going to work. They're building a building about three stories up in this lot. And in this building, they're going to have a coffee shop. They're going to have a place for chapel and some other things. And they're going to open it up for opportunities for discipleship and also to have outreach conversations. And I'm showing you this because these two buildings, or several buildings, are just part of a university complex that houses over 60,000 students. And it's right around the corner from that plot of land. Right around the corner. So that was so exciting. They have bought the land. They've saved up a little bit of money. They're trying to raise a little bit more before they start the build. It's not a lot of money in U.S. dollars. It's $250,000 to build that building. And so that's an exciting thing. And you think, well, how can we be a part of that? Well, thanks for asking. This year, 2020, we have put in the missions budget to try to bring Mon and Trang back here for another visit, to do a Vietnam day with them, but also part of that time would be is to let him talk to you about New Life Center 2, talk about what the needs are for the building, and ask us as a church and as individuals, how can we financially get behind them to try to get them to the point where they can start to build? Because how exciting would that be, folks, not just for us, for other people, that if we were a part of a building going up where they were reaching 60,000 people, college students with the gospel potentially. Wouldn't that be incredible? That would be just so awesome to see God use it that way. So that's just something that is part of that. So that really is kind of sums up my Vietnam report. But I want to turn the corner a little bit with you. We've got some time here. My missions experience, my missions trip experience started 28 years ago in 1992. Back then, Pam and I served in a church in Ohio. I was a youth pastor. And in 1992, we took our first group of teenagers from Ohio to Pennsylvania for a missions trip. We had really no idea what we were doing. But the good news is, we came back with all the same kids, and that was a win. And so that, the early days, those are kind of the victories you celebrate. Hey, we brought back all your kids. So we started that. And since 1992, I've been able to lead 22 trips in USA, Canada, and seven different countries. So missions trips are really kind of part of who I am. I love to do that. But the danger is when you have someone like myself or Rex that loves missions trips, that you as a congregation, as a church might go, well, that's what you guys are passionate about. You love missions trips. Good for you guys. You can go back to Vietnam again if you'd like. And you're like, that's not me. No. Please don't take it that way. Here's what I want you to think about for the next few minutes. As we think about 2020, I want you to ask yourself this question. How about you? How about you? What might God have in store for you in 2020? And you may be here as a guest or someone that's not necessarily associated with our church, and we're going to get to the point to let you know that this applies to everybody in this room, not just people associated with our church. But the question is, what might God have in store for you in 2020? Are you willing to entertain that question? For some of you, it could be your first trip. For some of you, it could be your next trip. For some of you, because of the way your life may go, it might be your only trip. And that's okay. But are you willing to entertain that question? And since we're thinking about that, I know you wanted to ask me, thanks for asking me, what are our options here? What are some things to think about? Well, first of all, we have a trip for our young people. It's called MFuge. MFuge, the youth group, is going to Philadelphia. And so they're planning a trip. I think it's in July. And two of the leaders are I'm not supposed to point, but they're right over there. Damon and Brian, can you wave? If you're a young person, you want to know information, more information about MFuge and on that mission trip, you can see them and they'll give you more information. That's one of your options. Here's another option. South Africa 2020. Dum, 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 dum. Okay, South Africa 2020. And listen, we have had a long-running partnership with South Africa. We support the Pines Christian Care Center, which is an AIDS orphanage in South Africa. Sally Seafried, Alana, and Phil Carmichael, and there's another family that's there. We've partnered with them for many, many years. Even before we started doing trips, we partnered with them. But then just a little blast from the past, I told Ron and Vivian to be watching for themselves. 2010, next slide, was our first team. Look at there. There's Angela right there in the middle, holding everybody up. Way to go, Angela. And we've got Ron and Vivian, the whole Shoot family. Eric with some really crazy hair on the back there. Okay, and then I have some hair. Then there's Linda Selby and Carter and John and Sandy. I miss those guys. That was our first partnership. 2012, we went back again. Next slide. The Shoots didn't get enough of it, so they went back again. And Eric's there. His hair is now much shorter and we're different. The whole Barnes family was a part of 2012. And Linda and Abby Selby and Brian Wagner's up there. I told Brian he'd see himself up there. You don't look any different, Brian. There he is. I was going to say, you don't even look any different because I couldn't find you. But there you are. And then Claudia was there, so that was great. And then Jenna Parker was a part of that group. And then 2014, we went back again. And the Shoot family, they're just like, hey, let's just keep going. And then my daughter Bethany was able to go. And then Julie and Connor and Callie Bonge and Bruce Collier and Alan and Sharon Dean and Claudia Aaron went back again. That was great. And even in the midst of these different trips, Ron and Vivian, they couldn't get enough the first time they went. They went back on their own. Do you remember that? I think you did, okay? And then Linda Selby went back with Abigail, and actually Linda and Bart adopted an orphan from South Africa, Abram, who lives with them now. So we had all these things. I'm just here to tell you, it's 2020. It's time to go back. It's time to really think about going back. And when I say that, going back to Africa, here's the next slide that some of you are thinking about. Go ahead. Please don't send me to Africa. I'm not sending you any place. I'm just asking you to consider God sending you to Africa. That might be the possibility. Now you say, well, why should I even consider a missions trip? I think there's some really legitimate reasons why all of you in this room should consider a missions trip, whether it's MFuge or South Africa or something else, because we'll talk about a few other options. Whatever it is, there are some really good reasons why you should consider a missions trip. And I think of the scripture in the Old Testament when God says to the prophet Isaiah, who's going to go for me? And Isaiah responds, hear my Lord, send her. No, send me. So please don't send me to Africa. He might want to do that. And here's some reasons why. And now, this is the longest we've ever gone in a time together on Sunday morning where we're finally getting to the insert. So here we are. For those of you that are like, I already drew pictures on it. I thought we were using it. Six reasons. Folks, listen, I think God can use this. Listen to me. Six reasons why you should consider a mission opportunity this year, 2020. Number one, God will stretch and grow your faith before, during, and after the trip. Some of you are going to pick up the South Africa trip information, and you're immediately going to look at the dollar sign, and you're going to go, no way. Listen, he's already stretching you. Your no way may be his way. Let me show you the way. But I'm telling you, you talk to anybody who's been on a trip, God stretches your faith before, during, and after. You want to get to know some people? Spend 18 hours with them on a plane. Interact with them for 10 to 12 days. Yeah. Good, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And even after the trip, God's like, I'm not done with you. So that's a good reason. Number two, second reason why you should consider, you will gain a greater appreciation for the mission work that our church supports. If you want to be more in touch with the mission work our church supports, then go on one of these trips. Because I'm looking at Fran Steitler. Fran has a greater connection with the Doyles, who we support in Ecuador, than most of you in this room. You know why? Because she went there. So when you go places, you just have a deeper connection. And I know you can't go to every place, but you have a deeper connection. I understand and appreciate Paul Scott more than I ever have done because of three trips. And I know a lot about Paul now. Lauren's laughing up here. So the good, the bad, and the uh-oh. But you learn these things. But that's a reason. And you also, I have found, you will also be more invested in giving to missions in our church if you're connected to the program. So third reason why you should consider. Here we go. You will encourage our missionaries, and you will be blessed and challenged by the people of God you meet. As you go as an individual or a team, you bless the missionaries. They love to have teams. And let me rephrase that because I changed it this morning. They love to have good teams. And I know it's not very spiritual, but it's always my goal. I don't tell it to the missionary. It's just kind of my own goal. It's always my goal when I bring a team to have it be the best team they've ever had. And I bring another team, the best team they ever have. I want to be the team that blesses them and encourages them. When people come to help them and work with them, they appreciate it. Because you think about it, how many months, sometimes years, they are away from their families. And you show up and you talk to them and you encourage them. But it's not just a one-way street. You're also blessed by them and you're challenged by the people you meet. I'll be honest with you, you go to some of these places and you're going to walk away and think this about yourself: I'm a really shallow Christian. And that's okay, because that'll challenge you. You're going to think, wow, I thought I had it rough. Talking about Jesus at Wegmans, whoa, here I am in Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? So it really, you're challenged and you're blessed. It's great. Number four, fourth reason to consider it. Embracing the command to serve the body of Christ and share the gospel outside of your boundaries pleases God. There's a lot of stuff out there about people wondering whether they're doing the will of God. I'm here to tell you, if you step out, whether it's Philadelphia or South Africa or someplace else, if you step out outside of your boundaries and share the gospel and serve the body of Christ, I'm telling you, it is the will of God and it pleases God. Hands down, no question. So, just so you understand that, it's an opportunity to do that. So if you're able to get outside your boundaries, it pleases God. Number five, God may prompt you to consider full-time mission work now or in the future. I know this is a scary reason to consider missions, but if you talk to mission boards or mission agencies, they will tell you our missionaries are getting older and there's less people replacing them. So what are we going to have, folks? And now I know we want to raise up national missionaries, but we still also need missionaries to go from the United States to other places. What are we going to do? Well, guess what? God may call some of you to be a part of full-time mission work now or in the future, and sometimes he prompts that on a trip. Now you say, well, that's number one reason why I'm not going to go. No, that'd be the wrong way. That's a different list. We're not covering that list today. So do that. Number six, missions trips. Mission trips create opportunities for you to share about your faith and your trip with friends, family, and coworkers. That one of the things that comes out of it, one of the reasons why you consider it. I remember one of the guys who went on a South Africa trip with us. He works in a community center in a big town, a secular workplace. He was able to share his experience a couple times to groups at his workplace because they asked him, hey, you're going to South Africa to do this. Would you mind giving a little presentation about what you did there? Sure. I mean, he couldn't just normally walk up and say, listen, I'd like to talk a little bit about my faith and some things I do. Can I gather a group together? They'd be like, no way. They asked him to on a couple occasions. So if you go and do these things, whether you're in your school setting or a neighbor or a work setting, you'll be able to create opportunities to share your faith based on this trip. Because, listen, people are intrigued when you say to them, yeah, I went to South Africa. Because next question is usually, why? And when you tell them it wasn't a vacation, sometimes they want to know more. When you think about considering missions trips, there are two ways that you can approach it. And I want to say these carefully because I believe one is much more biblical than the other. There are two ways to approach considering a missions trip. One is to assume no until God forces a yes. That's one. The other is to pursue yes until God makes it clear that it's a no. I'll let you figure out which one you think is more biblical. Because I'm never going to try to force anybody to go on any trip, but I do think it's biblical to consider, because considering means you're starting with yes instead of no. So don't assume no and wait for God to force you. Pursue yes till he says no. Now, what if you can't go on one of these trips? What if maybe something else is something that may be in the horizon? Here's this thing as we close here. What are some options? If I can't go on one of these trips, I'm good to go. I don't even have to think about this message anymore. I'm good. If I'm not going to Africa, I'm huge. I'm off the hook. No, you're not. Sorry. Here's what you do. If you can't go on one of these trips, number one, pray. You can be praying for the people that you hear about that are going. Absolutely. We need prayer support. Number two, you can support them. You can support the team. Now, I know you do through the missions budget, but typically, MFuge or a South Africa team or whatever, often they have what we call support raisers, where we have little events that we do. You being a part of those support raisers and coming and making donations, that helps to support. You can do that even if you're not going on the trip. And listen, if you want to get back at people and you want to send somebody to Africa, you can support it. I'm going to send you to Africa. You need to go. All right? Here's another thing. What if I can't go on the other trips? You need to be open to other options. 4 months from now, 5 months from now, we may get up and say, listen, something else has come up. Another opportunity has come up. And you're like, well, if you would have mentioned it in February, I would have thought about it. No, be open to other options. MFuge in South Africa right now are the ones on the table, but there may be other options. And then here's the one that applies to every single person in this room, no matter where you are. If you are a follower of Christ, this applies to you. Here it is. What do I do if I can't go on one of these trips? Take the gospel to the local mission field God has assigned to you. Where is that, Pastor Jay? Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you go to school? Who's your neighbor? Who's the person you see in the grocery store all the time? Who do you have a relationship with in your family that doesn't know Christ? Listen, we are not off the hook. Oh, I'm not going to Africa, so I'm good for 2020. No, you take the gospel to whatever local mission field God has called you to. That's what he wants you to do. And as we do that, that'll be really important to follow that. So what are the next steps? What do I do with this? Well, first of all, next step, it's not going to be, you don't have to write this down, just listen. Next step, talk to someone who's been on a trip. You saw some people that were in those pictures. You want to know a little bit more about South Africa? Talk to Rob, talk to Sherry, talk to Brian, talk to Ron, talk to Vivian, talk to somebody who's been on one of those trips. To Angela, just ask them. Ask somebody about it. It's been on any of the trips. Talk to them. Secondly, if you want to know about MFuge, those guys back there, Brian and Damon, talk to them about it, or talk to a student who's been on MFuge. Another next step, if you want to know about South Africa, as you leave today on the round table, there is a information sheet. Take that. It doesn't commit you to the trip, just gives you some basic information. And then you're going to read that over this week, and then next Sunday at 4:30, you're going to come back twice on a Sunday because you won't get a rash. It's okay. You're going to come back twice on a Sunday, and we're going to have an information meeting about South Africa. The information meeting does not commit you to the trip. It just gives you the opportunity to ask questions about the trip. Those are the next steps. The next step is not to go home and go, oh, no, no, no. That's not the next step. Consider, what does God, or what might God have in store for you as it relates to missions in 2020? Local, United States, or someplace in the world? Think about it. I'm going to have Rex come. He's going to close us in prayer and then share a final few verses of benediction.
Why don't you stand with me as we prepare to close the service today? Father, once again, we've been reminded of the need for many people in our world still to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have put us in a position as a church over the last number of years where we've been able to send teams to take that message of hope to a lost world. And so thank you for another potential opportunity or a couple of them this year and maybe even more. And I do pray, Lord, that your spirit would be at work in people's hearts, especially those who have been teetering on whether or not to ever go on a mission trip, that your spirit would motivate them, encourage them to at least take the steps that Jay encouraged to take here at the end of the service. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to partner with you in the work that you are doing around the world. What a joy it is to be able to represent you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let you leave today with this benediction that comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, a great evangelistic passage. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Go and be God's messengers this week. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Oh, you are protector. You are the one I love.